you can imagine in your heart, if you would just open the eyes of your heart, ask the Holy Spirit to. Your heart has eyes. I want you to just think about the thousands, the millions, the seraphim as they go around the throne crying, "Holy, holy, holy." I used to wonder, Lord, how can they do that eternally? And I just sort of sensed the Holy Spirit tell me that every time they come around the throne of God, they see another facet of His glory. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You tonight that we can gather. You are our Father in heaven, and we hallow Your name. Thank You. You're Jehovah Zidkenu. You're the God of our righteousness. You're Jehovah Makadesh. You're our sanctifier. You are Jehovah Shalom and Jehovah Shammah. You're the God of peace that never leaves us. Thank You, Lord. We praise You. We honor Your name. Thank You, Lord. You're Jehovah Rophe. You're our healer. Lord, we thank You that You manifest Your presence in that manner tonight. We thank You that You make sure that we're successful according to Your word. You are Jehovah Yireh, our God that provides. Lord, not only are we successful, but we're secure as we pursue You. You are Jehovah Nisi. You're the banner that we fight under. We fight the good fight of faith. We put on the armor of God, and we fight the fight of faith, and You fight for us. We thank You, Jehovah Rohi. You are the great shepherd, and we honor You tonight. Let Your kingdom come and Your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Clarence Tillman stands here. Lord, I stand here realizing, God, I need Your kingdom to come in my life. Teresa Tillman, my family, my extended family, the ministries, right now tonight at Grenada Church of God, the home of my roots, Lord, we pray that Your kingdom come and Your will be done. We pray, Father, that in Grenada County, in the United States of America, Your kingdom come and Your will be done. Father, we thank You as Pastor James and his team travels. We thank You for Your provision and Your protection and Your presence. Come on, somebody help me worship Him. I'm just praying through the Lord's Prayer. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Lord, give us this day our daily bread, spiritually first, Lord. Fill the hunger of our spirit, then our souls, our mind, will, and emotions. And thank You that our physical bodies are more than well fed. We ask You, Lord, that You be exalted. We ask You to forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. We pause just a minute, Lord. If there's anybody in our lives that we need to forgive, we ask You to speak to our hearts. Because if we don't forgive, You can't forgive us. Thank You, Lord. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, the evil one. We choose tonight to put on Your armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. We have on the belt of Your truth, the shoes of the gospel of Your good news. We take the shield of faith and sword of the Spirit, and we stand and watch You fight for us. Father, we pray that the angel of the Lord encamp around about us because we fear and respect You. For Yours is the kingdom and the glory and the praise forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Somebody say, and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. While you're standing, would you reach down and get your Bible? And we're going to go over just a little bit of text, and then I'm going to get in the message, because we're experiencing right now the manifest presence of God. Turn with me to Psalms 139, and let's look at verses 7 through 10. Psalms 139, 7 through 10. Psalms 139 is one of my favorite passages in the Psalms. It has to do with the fact of destiny. Everybody say destiny. James McElroy was destined to be in Peru this week. I think it's Peru is where he was, somewhere on the Amazon River, wherever those piranha are not. Amen. You were destined to be here. I was destined to be here. I was just covered up at the end of the service today with people talking about how the message had spoke to him. That's very humbling to me. But don't ever forget, don't get wadded up on the couch. What you have to do is you have to get up, get out, and get free. I want you to look in Psalms 139, verse 7. The Word of God says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your what? Presence. You need to underline that word. If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. The concept of the presence of God is not so much about him showing up in our lives as it is about us coming to a place where we recognize his presence. Agree with me. Say, in Jesus' name, I will receive this word. It will become engrafted in my life, a lamp to my feet, a light to my path, that I might experience God in the fullness of his glory. Amen. Turn around to somebody and tell them you're looking good as you can tonight, and you may be seated. The old man would pull the cotton trailer up to the barn, and the big old Summer Stetson hat would be the first thing to emerge from that old 1963 chartreuse green Ford truck with white rims and a grill. As the hat leveled out, the old man would see the cotton-top toddler standing just inside the front door of the screened-in porch. To the best of his might, this little three-year-old would be trying to hold that door open so the old man could get in, urgently waiting for him to climb those four steps into the household. There was a unique relationship between this old man and this toddler. This toddler wasn't his grandson. The little boy had spent his whole day waiting on his dad. That's right, his father to come in from the fields. The old gentleman would sweep him up off the floor, up into a 6-foot-3-inch world where everything was majestic and exciting. He would then sit down in a big cane bottom rocker on the front porch, and he would tell that young son, "Son, you're a gift from God. God gave you to us." He would teach him scripture by repetition from his heart. The young boy would stumble along, but eventually begin to learn how to recite God's eternal word with his father. Oh, but what would come next is almost inexplicable. The old man would lift his head heavenward and begin to pray and thank God for his family, his wife, his children, and this young gift from God that he was holding, and tears would drop off the old farmer's rugged cheeks into the head of that little cotton-top three-year-old as the presence of God would settle on this old man and his son. That little boy was me. That old farmer was my dad, Horace Tillman. He made me hungry for the presence of Abba Father, and the rest is history. Today, this afternoon, I want to talk to you, and I want us to look at a few things about the abiding presence of God. Everybody say that with me. The abiding presence of God. What does the presence of God mean? What does the presence of God bring? How do I know when I'm actually experiencing the presence of Almighty God? How can I deliberately enter into the manifest presence of God? I was sitting by Ashley, and she was talking about how good the praise and worship is here week in and week out, and I was drinking deeply. I travel, and sometimes I'm in good praise and worship, and sometimes I'm at church. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But the presence of God is felt here, and we've experienced Him here tonight. I want to start tonight by saying that God, the I Am, the eternally existing one, not the I was, not the I will be, but the I Am is forever present with us, even when you don't think He is there. What does the Course say? He's still working when you don't think He's working. He's still there. He is omnipresent. That means that He is everywhere at the same time. People think that Satan is omnipresent. Satan is a created angelic being just like the other angels, and they're not multidimensional. They can travel very fast, but they're not multidimensional. God is multidimensional. He can be anywhere He wants to be, anytime He wants to be. One guy told me, he said, the devil is really bent on my back. I said, son, the devil's not on your back because he's in the Middle East right now, probably stirring up some stuff. You've had a little demon about the size of a mouse on you, and you've got to learn to let God handle him through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where I want to go tonight. I want to show you the fact that there's nowhere that we can go that God's not already there. So when you get tired and when you get worn out, let me stop right here. You ever hear that lately? How you doing? I'm just a woe out. Let's say that, woe out. Now, I don't know how you spell that, but I meet more people. I even meet young people that are just woe out. Because they've been playing video games all day. They woe out. I got a professional gamer in here just about it. Shep's with me tonight. And Hasten is as well. They can get after that stuff. They're my techies, amen. I thank God for people in the media booth tonight. I had a slide presentation and we couldn't get it to work. But you know what? I was preaching before slide presentations, amen. So, when we look at Psalms 139, 7 through 10, and I'm going to read it again just for clarity. Jesus said, verily, 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 I say unto you. How many of you parents have to use repetition? Jesus did the same thing because some of us are a little, well, let me go on. Okay. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. Behold, you are there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Again, the concept of the presence of God is not so much about Him showing up. I hear people all the time talk about the glory fail. No, what happened was you stopped long enough to get into the glory. Ooh, that's good stuff right there. You can't lose with the stuff I use. I promise you. Psalm 16, verse 11 in the English Standard Version says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is what? Fullness of joy. I want you to turn to your neighbor and show them not your happy face, but your joy face. Would you do that? Just turn and show them just your joy. Some of you don't have one. I was preaching somewhere, and I preached my heart out, and one young lady got up to be saved that night, and she come to the altar, and nobody would come pray with her. And finally, I said, well, somebody come pray, and this woman got up, looked like she was mad at the world. Her face looked like 40 miles of bad road. You know what I'm talking about? She stumbled down to the front and got in front of her and says, young lady, look at me. And that girl, tears streaming down her face, looked at her. And she said, don't you want what I got? I turned into a professional athlete. I dove in between them like I was diving to catch a football because I did not want that young lady to have what that other woman had, whatever it was. I want to exude the joy and the presence of God. Joy is not happiness. Say that with me. Joy is not happiness. Joy is choosing to be happy in the presence of the storm. Peace is not the absence of the storm. Peace is when you can sleep when the storm is raging. Can I get a witness in the house tonight? And can somebody just help me take a praise break right here at the beginning of this message? Well, what is the manifest presence of God? The manifest presence of God is when we recognize and honor Him being with us. I've been in private and public worship and sensed that God was there in His manifest presence. Personally, I've experienced God's manifest presence in private worship in ways I don't have words to explain. And I want to tell you, I remember in corporate worship, there's been times I've been in a building filled with people that they all of them be on their face before Him or in the altar weeping or whispering prayer, calling out to Him. And I declare and decree as a prophet this next week, beginning with homecoming, as you go into revival with Brother Merchant, that the manifest presence of God would so permeate this place, you would have another one of those experiences. In fact, I declare and decree we can have that experience here tonight. Do you believe it? I believe the strongest of His manifest presence in corporate worship is when a total hush falls over the room and you just worship from the depths of your heart to His heart. Deep, intimate relationship. It's when a husband looks at a wife and don't have to say anything. There's so much about the presence of God we don't understand. The reason we don't is because He's God and we're not. Don't ever forget that. That's a good point. Don't ever think He's a cosmic puppet to where you can pull a string and get Him to do what you want. The Word of God in Acts says that we will become witnesses after we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you look up what that word means, it means martyr. It literally means you're ready to give your life. I'm ready to give my life. When I think about the presence of God, Psalms 140, 13 comes to mind. I want you to listen to this scripture. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name, and the upright shall dwell in your presence. The upright shall dwell in your presence. I remember a story about my father, Brother Timmy Whittington. Does anybody remember Timmy Whittington here? Okay, some of them do. There's a reason they do, amen. But he and my father were very close, and my dad got mad at him about something. Listen, it don't get any better in family, and it don't get any worse either. And the people you go to church with are crazy because you're crazy. But you work things out as a family. So my dad got mad at him, been withholding his tithes. Brother Whittington told me, said he wouldn't speak to me, he wouldn't do anything. My dad, until later in his life, had a terrible problem with a temper. And I guess I helped him with that. Because it took a lot of patience with me. But he said one day he was downtown and said my dad flagged him down out of the window of the truck. And he said, I didn't know whether he's going to beat me up. He's a big man. I didn't know what he's going to do. And said, I stopped and got out of the truck, and he got out of his truck, and he almost ran to meet me and embraced me. And just as a young man, he picked me up off the ground and said, Brother Whittington, I want you to forgive me. And he reached in his front shirt pocket. My dad was known. I've been with him a lot of times. He'd have $3,000 to $5,000 in his shirt pocket, old gingham shirt. And he pulled his tithe out and gave it to Brother Whittington and says, I repent. I'll never do that again. You see, what he understood was that he couldn't have aught against his brother and experience the presence of God. Can I get a weak amen on that? You wonder why God don't show up. There are several reasons. But the upright shall dwell in His presence. When I read scripture, I have to know about the application and the understanding of truth where I'm presently living in my life. The ancient Hebrew sages taught that there were 70 faces to the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. They always stressed how God is speaking to you in the right now. How will the Word of God apply to your life today? I dare you to declare, God's speaking to me right now. When I've read and studied before, most of the time, Holy Spirit will give me new insight as I study and meditate on the Word of God. I don't mean that it was incorrect the first time I studied it. It just means that He's giving me a new face or a deeper revelation. My God, has anybody in here had that experience? Something that applies to my life right now. He's an on-time God. He's a right-now God. If you need Him, He is here.
Amen.
Amen. Can we just lift our hands to Him and say, thank you, Lord, that you are an on-time God. You know what I'm going through. Would you come in your manifest presence? I got to thinking about this. I love the Lord's Prayer. And let me share a little something with you. It might help you. The dimension that you're worshiping God in is the dimension that He shows up. That's the reason He will not show up for some of you, because you only live in a negative dimension. That's where Lucifer lives. I'm sorry, Satan. Love you. How you doing? Ah, you ever heard that before? They start that, oh, you better get out of Dodge. That's an old negative attitude. Somebody stopped me the other day and said, how come you always say better than you deserve? You deserve everything through Christ. I said, no, I don't. I said, God in His mercy saved me. So when you ask me how I'm doing, I'm more than likely going to tell you better than I deserve, because I am. How many of you in here tonight are living better than you deserve because of the manifest presence of God? Let's stop right there and give Him some praise in the house. Hallelujah. You heard me praying through the Lord's Prayer, and those names, I learned them because when you, He's going to be there. But when you start talking about Him and you call Him by the name, that's how He manifests. In Teresa's life, many times we've had to praise Jehovah Rapha because He's God our healer. If you're needing provision, He's Jehovah Yireh. Everybody say Jehovah Yireh. All right? He's Jehovah Yireh. What does that mean? He's God our provision. I was walking one morning. I love to pray. Chubby people don't run. If you see me running, you better be running too, because something's chasing me, okay? All right. Now, my son, Todd, runs. He's just about a professional runner. He turned me on to some great, comfortable shoes, but I found out they walk better than they run. I was walking one morning, Grace, and the Spirit of the Lord moved on me, and I got to that part of the Lord's Prayer, and I said, Lord, I thank you for your provision. His presence was there, and I'd entered into His presence, and I said, Lord, I thank you. And He said, son, you don't understand about my provision, because He is provision. Amen. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I keep providing what you give away. Did anybody get that? What are you giving away? God didn't give it to you for you to hold it. Meridian, Mississippi, our last 10 years there, we lived in a very beautiful 6,000 square foot home that was used for multiple purposes and helping people in second step couples get on their feet. We had an apartment on 4 acres of land on a lake. It was wonderful. I love for my kids to come over. We had all this stuff. And one day I was walking and praying and talking about God and provision. And He said, son, I've give you your dream. I said, thank you, Lord. I'm enjoying it. He said, would you give it away so you could live mine? Are we is this a Presbyterian church? We come through the 90s to where everybody talked about we're supposed to be rich. They misused the word of God. God wants you to be rich. He wants to take care of you, but He wants you to be able to give away, because what you give away is what comes back. I just wanted you to get that. I want you to think about it. I could go through all of those names, but if you're needing God in an area, start praising Him. If you need righteousness, start praising Him, Jehovah Zidkenu. I thank you for who you are. Or if you don't want to use Hebrew, just say, you're my righteous God. If you need sanctification, praise Him as Jehovah Makadesh. I thank you for the sanctification. Prayed for somebody in the altars looking for that today. If you need the Holy Ghost, He's Jehovah Shammah. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's the God our peace. Start praising Him for that. If you need provision, Jehovah Yireh. If you you need success, you start praying in that and saying, Lord, I thank you that you provide everything. You're the God, our provider. And then for security, you fight under his banner. He takes care of you. And the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He will take care of me and keep me from the wolf. Amen. I am so tired of people say, oh, it's been rough. Don, I hear this all the time. It's been rough, Brother Tillman. The devil has just been after me. I'll say, I love you. You got a minute? And they'll say, yeah. I'll say, guess what? When you become a Christian, you did not sign up for the Girl Scouts because they're even taking boys now. What do you think you signed up for? Huh? I watch my mom and my daddy and my pastors labor in prayer. I'm looking at people in here tonight that are sitting. I think about Hobo Bloodworth has gone on. Grace, you've lived these years, but there will be a reunion. There's people that have sacrificed and given, and I thank God for that. And Marie, we're not getting any younger, but there's one thing about it. There's going to be a party in heaven. I don't know if Bud's going to have any fireworks there or not to hurt somebody with, but we are going to enjoy heaven. Amen? I got tickled this morning. Bud had to show off his fireworks scars to Todd's son. Todd, we always would get together and shoot fireworks, and Todd got his face burned one night. And so Bud was saying, I got hit in the eye with a bottle rocket, too. We were shooting them bottle rockets. Ain't nothing better than being a good old Mississippi redneck, is it? Amen. Somebody says, why do you talk about rednecks? Because I are one. Amen. Think about this. If I'm in turmoil and begin to worship him as Jehovah Shalom, the presence of peace will manifest on me. Remember, as we acknowledge God and we acknowledge the truth about what God says about himself, then the manifestation of God's presence will manifest in our life is based on the truth we're acknowledging. And if you don't think he can provide, you're not acknowledging him at all, you need to thank God that he's there no matter what you are going through. Hallelujah. What about when it comes to governing our life? There's a little book. You might want to write this down. It's called Practicing the Presence of God. It's by Brother Lawrence. He was a monk back right after the Middle Ages, and he got the concept of everything that he did it for God. Why don't you think about that just a minute? He says, if I'm in the kitchen cooking, I worship God by cooking. He said, if I pick up a twig off of the floor, I am worshiping God. Everything you do is an act of worship. Now, here's something. You'll be at work tomorrow and you'll say this, boy, we had church yesterday. That was some good services. I hope that's what you'll say. And you'll talk about, man, the presence of God was there. I can't wait for this day to be over. I'm going to drop a bomb on you right here. Your work is your worship. You don't want me to get started on that. Now, let's watch that just a minute. What was Adam and Eve doing before they went down the road of failure and fail? What were they doing? Does anybody know what their J-O-B was? And it's not Job. What was they doing? Come on, I got Bible students in here. Somebody help me. They were taking care of what? The garden. Everybody wants to talk about how we were cursed. No, the ground was cursed. We just got to work harder. God created you to work. Man, it's quiet in here. I don't know. Big old guy come up to me like you wanted me to pray the other day in his 30s. I said, what you need me to pray for? He said, pray that my disability will go through. I looked at that bull yearling. Anybody know what a bull yearling is? I was raised on a farm. And I said, what's the matter? He says, my back stays sore all the time. I said, I can't pray for your disability, but I can pray that God healed you, and I can also cast that lazy demon out of you. Oh, don't say that. You might offend a snowflake. I say, turn the flames up. Amen. Let them melt. The other morning, I called those men wusses. Asa told me, said, I Well, come on now. Let's get real. I got a 35-year-old guy in there. His mother's paying his tuition. She's supplying all he needs. And he gets a heat rash from working and wants to go to the doctor. I called him in and I said, do you know what galded means? Anybody remember that term? For you young folks, that's chafed. I said, we'll get you some heat powder, but you're going to be right back out there in it tomorrow. You know what I think's wrong with a lot of these men? I don't think they've ever had a rooster chase them. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Anybody in here have been chased by a rooster? I'm talking about a big old Rhode Island Red where he was hitting you upside the head with his wings and spurring you on the back. I'm telling you, friend, it'll provoke you to good works. The manifestation of God's presence that will manifest in our life is based on the truth we're acknowledging. Jesus is what? The way and the life. That's the reason you can't worry and complain and have faith and pray. Think about that just a minute. Think about that. Did you know in Corinthians, I think it's the 9th chapter, the Word of God talks about what happens when we have a murmuring or complaining spirit? Does anybody know what happens? The Word of God says a destroying angel comes. Every time you complain, you invite a destroying angel. If you find out what a destroying angel is, you will find out it is an angel of death. How many of you know somebody that's a walking dead man? They're here, but they're not alive. I know people like that. And what's happened is they've complained their way. They worship their death angel. I got to go ahead. Truth is more than information. Say that with me. Truth is more than information. We got more information in the church. We can tell you how to do it inside out. We've had church growth conferences and preachers have got rich from writing curriculum and the churches are getting smaller all the time. I'm telling you what we need. We need to get in the presence of God and have him show up like he did in 1987 in Grenada, Mississippi for 5 weeks and over 100 people come to the Lord and people get baptized in the Holy Ghost. I declare it's revival time again and we will see people turn back to God. Amen. Come on, praise him if you believe that. Oh, we're going to get there. You're not going to like the way we're going to have to do it. Persecution will be increasing. You know, we're going to have an Acts experience. The New Testament church being restored. You're going to be persecuted at every level. Well, that's already happening, but I'll tell you what's going to happen. People are looking for the real church, the real God, the real presence of God, not some fake presence that's made up by a worship leader in skinny jeans and spiked hair. We're looking for the true presence of Almighty God, and I invite him. Does anybody else in here tonight invite him into your life? Raise both hands and just say, I invite you, Father. Come, Abba Father, in all your glory. We as Westerners are not people who live from our heart or spirit. We don't know how to. We live from our head. We tend to live from the soul, our thinking, our feeling, our intellectual capacity. I don't know about you, but I got friends that are educated beyond their intellect. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I got friends, and thank God for education. I got a lot of friends like Herbie Bloodworth that has used his for the glory of God. But Herbie, I got other friends that are PhDs that can't teach their way out of a wet paper sack. Last days, ever learning, but never be able to come to the what? Knowledge of the what? Truth. I want you to think about this. Can y'all help me with this? How in the world do we consider it normal when you can kill a baby its last day in the womb or let him die after you deliver him, just leave him laying on a table and let him. What about transgender? I hadn't figured that one out yet. Had one couple tell me, I just went in, we ordered our new phones, the ministry gets us phones, and we ordered our new phones, and the guy that was waiting on us, he said, "Oh, you didn't know I was getting married. We're going to Disneyland." My wife didn't know he's homosexual. That didn't turn out good. Anybody with me? Oh, don't say anything. You might offend somebody. I'm not worried about offending you. I'm worried about standing before God and him looking at me and saying, "Did you tell the truth in love?" Amen. I don't know. I got a great answer for the homosexual agenda. I say give them a whole state and let them all move there. They'll eventually die out. Why? They can't reproduce. Is anybody with me? You want me to give you scripture for it? In the beginning, God created male and female. And he said that we were to be what? Fruitful and multiply. Fruitful first. You know what that means? If you're an idiot, if you're fruitful, you have little idiots. If you're a child of truth, you have little children of truth. Is anybody with me? And I'm not a hater. I got friends that are homosexuals. I love them in their sin, but they're wrong and they need Jesus. And I'm here to tell you the only way they're going to find him is be in a place where the manifest presence of God is permeating the atmosphere, where they're convicted for their sin. Somebody said, "I don't want to live in that fear gospel anymore." I'll tell you what, that night I was sitting back there and it was my job to get through that church because I didn't want to be here anyway. I wanted to be at home watching my VCR, and that young evangelist Chris Owens, I saw him today, he gave that invitation and it seemed like there was a vacuum cleaner on, but I wasn't coming. And Teresa Tillman came to this altar and she repented. We were church members. My God, my dad was a founding father, and she came and repented, and she came back down the aisle. That was before waterproof makeup. She looked like a Halloween costume. She come down the aisle and she took my hand and she said, "We're being blessed, but we're not living in peace. What are we going to do?" I found myself right over here, and I found myself mucus coming out of my face, and I repented, and I got up, and Margie Evans, the Evans that had caused me so much pain, I'm telling you, she was something else. I loved her. We got our last coconut cake. I got up, and I knew I had to forgive her, and I went to her, and I started to reach out, and she started backing up, and I tried to tackle her like a football player because I didn't want any unforgiveness. The presence of God permeated this church, and this church was filled up with heart-hungry seekers, demons being cast out, people being filled with the Holy Ghost, and that revival still carries on. I want to be in the presence of Almighty God. Maria, I'm too old to preach like this. Those guys told me, they say, "Pastor Tillman, there's something about you when you get to preaching." You got to remember, they weren't raised in church. They'll say, "Would you put your hand on me?" I said, "Why do you want me to put my hand on you?" He said, because I tingle when you touch me. I said, "Boy, you better watch it. I'm a man. I'm married." He said, "I'm not talking about that kind of tingling." I love to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I was sitting around a table the other night, and one of them asked us, "When's the next time you're going to teach on it?" I said, "Let's just go through some slides." Went through some slides sitting there at the table. 11 of them received that night in about 20 minutes. They said, "Would you teach on it again?" I taught on it two nights later, 26 of them received. Ain't nobody had to push them down, slap them under the chin. The Holy Spirit come in, and they got full of the Holy Ghost. And now you hear them saying, don't worry about that devil. Just start praying in the Holy Ghost. He'll go. But we've got to a point in our lives where we have memorized our tongues. I had this lady in Meridian. Her name was Marianne. Now, if you're Marianne, I'm not picking on you. Praise and worship, we'd get to the last song, and she'd do this phrase in tongues like she's giving out a message. I listened to it for about 3 weeks. Holy Spirit said, you need to direct her, confront her, and direct her lovingly. Teresa and I called her in. We told her, you're experiencing the presence of God, but that's not tongues interpretation. She kept doing it. We called her in again. I said, now the next time you go to him, bring a brother. I said, the next time I'm going to confront you in church when you do that. Same place every service. It was so bad that the youth group had her tongue phrase memorized. It wasn't very long either. Somebody says, oh, you shouldn't talk about that. Don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. I can tell you what blaspheming the Holy Ghost is. I'll get to that later, but watch this. So one Sunday night, she did. And I just walked over there, and I said, Marianne, you know I love you. Yes, sir, Pastor, I know you do. I said, have I talked to you? Yes, sir. I said, that's out of order. Now, what you're sensing is the Holy Spirit, but that's not tongues interpretation. If it was, there would be interpretation. There would be witness in the body. You see, here's what we're not taught in Pentecost. The Word of God says prophecy and tongues interpretation are supposed to be judged by the elders. Who was that redheaded woman when I was a kid that would take over the service just for hours? Anybody remember her? Sister Macklemore or something, I don't know. Anyway, she would take, and does anybody remember that woman? She would just take over and just take the service. And the pastor would just stand there, his little head down. I'm not one of those. When I handled that night, Grace, I had all of my major leaders in the church come to me and say, Pastor, we've been waiting on you to see how you was going to handle that. Now we can go forward. You know what the problem is? When you're third generation Pentecostal, sometimes you memorize your tongues. What we need is God to baptize us afresh and anew and give us a new language in His Spirit or to advance us. It's for the benefit of the body. Can I hear somebody say amen? I was preaching one night and the glory of God fell on me and I started speaking and I knew it was Oriental. I didn't know what it was. And at the end of the service, this little Chinese woman got up and come forward. She said, you don't know who I am, but I'm from China. I married a man and he left me. I'm having to clean houses to eat. And she said, you spoke to me in my own language and God told me that He loved me and would take care of me. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. What about this? Let me ask you this, Grenada. Do you have a record of the tongues and interpretations that's been given out over the last year in this church? You know why you don't? Because you're not serious about it. I love you. You might never let me come back. We kept a record. And for 20 years, you could watch this. You could see God speak to the church. And Marie, if I'm standing here, they all linked together and everything the Holy Ghost put out there come together and grew that church. But no, whoo, we just want the experience. Well, you can go to the doctor and get a drug for that. Don't like that, do you? Listen to me, friend. I want the church to be the church that manifests the presence of God. Am I still in a Pentecostal church here? I know that's pretty direct. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Had one lady, when I first went to Meridian, she'd get up to sing. She'd forget the second verse in the same place every time, go to speaking in tongues. I better go ahead. I'm getting in trouble. I'm not God, but the Word of God says, try the spirits and know that they're of God. Let me tell you, one of the biggest devils I ever cast out, hear me on this. It was on a Sunday morning, and we were redoing the old sanctuary for the kids' sanctuary, and this tall, nice-looking blonde guy came, and I was praying with him, and he started vibrating. Now, when they start vibrating and stiffening up, you better watch out. Something's going on. So I had the prayer team get him out to the side. They took him to the sanctuary, the old sanctuary. So it wasn't long till they come and got me. They were trained to handle him. They come and got me, and not that I'm anything special, but I don't know, God just put me right there. You know, God will always put you somewhere you're uncomfortable, won't he? I don't know. I mean, I had to. It was either, I've been in situations to where you either cast a demon out or the demon beat your eyes out. I don't like the demon beating my eyes out. You don't handle them in the flesh either. I walked up in that old sanctuary, and they were standing back. He was levitating off the floor on his back, levitating, just floating. You don't believe that, do you? I don't care. You hear that? I don't care. And he was speaking in this livid, lurid tongue. And I walked up there and I said, in Jesus' name, you will cease and desist. Bam, he hit the floor. We cast that devil out of him. He joined the music team. He's a praise and worship leader now. Hallelujah. Oh, but we're afraid somebody might be offended. That's the problem with the Pentecostal church. We're no longer operate in the gifts. My God, we need a revival. When the devil walks in, he need to be bound, and he needs to get in this altar and get out of that person. I'm sorry. I'm getting excited. Now, if you're really becoming uncomfortable, I'll work with you in deliverance right after the service. I love you. The guys come in. The worst kind that we get is alcoholics. Everybody say drugs and alcohol. No. How many of you know alcohol is a drug? Alcohol's the only drug where you vomit on yourself and wet on yourself. It's nasty. I can't take you if you're an alcoholic without you going and detoxing, because you will go into DTs in cardiac arrest. But I tell those guys, I say, you're welcome, and I love them when they come in. Some of them are like, others are like, I'll just hug them. Isn't that what Jesus did to us? And I'll say, this is what I tell them, Mason. I say, son, you're welcome to stay here. Me and Mama tell you, we're going to be your daddy and mama. We're going to love you. But that devil that's in you, I'll lean over and I'll say, hear me, demon. You're not welcome. And I'll say, in about 3 days, your demon's going to try to get you to leave. And you can go with him if you want to. I'd like for you to stay here, but you and your demon both can't stay. I need somebody to raise both hands and say, any spirit. I didn't plan this. Come on, raise your hand. Some of you are working with depression. Some of you are working with worry. Those are spirits of, somebody said, well, a Christian can't have a devil. No, but a devil can have you. Anywhere there's darkness in your life, the demons of hell can operate. I want you to do this with me. I want you to say, any spirit that has been sent to torment me and to destroy me. At this moment, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. You have to, devil, cease and desist. You are bound by the blood of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm about to take a deep breath, and when I breathe out of my spirit, of my physical body, and my soul, you have to go. Now everybody in here, take a deep breath and exhale. Now start praising him for your freedom. My God, are you hearing? My God, I hear him in the house. I hear angels in the house. I sense him in the house. Oh, somebody's getting set free. Oh, don't stop praising him. We waiting for some 16-cylinder evangelist to come lay hands on us and pray that weight off of us. You get in the presence of God, devils can't stay in the presence of God. They run. Does anybody sense him in here beside? I'm just like, I'm about to get inebriated right here. I don't know when the last time you got high was, but friend, there's a good chance tonight if you want to imbibe. Our truth will be the belief of our heart. You serve God from your heart. You don't serve him from your mind. You don't serve him from your soul. You serve him from your spirit. There's only two ways for your soul to be renewed. The mind don't ever get saved. Can I have an amen out there? It has to be what? Romans 12, 1 and 2, renewed. It's your soul. So what you have to do is you either have to have a tremendous emotional experience because it's your subconscious. It's what you learn to believe the lies that you lived from the time you were born into puberty. That's where the lies came in. They're in there. You don't even know it. Just like a guy smoking a cigarette. You ever watch people that smoke? They just take that thing out. I don't know why they do this. They say it's packing tobacco. That's what I want to do. If you're a smoker in here, I love you, but you stink. All right. I'm sorry. It's just the truth. You can come smell of me right now. Smell of me, brother. Do I stink? Smell good, don't I? Amen. I represent the kingdom of God, not a bonfire. I don't know if smoke. My wife thinks smoking will send you to hell. I don't know if it'll send you to hell, but it sure makes you smell like you've been there. They don't even think about what they're doing. Why? They're doing it out of their what? Y'all help me tonight. Are y'all still with me? What are they doing it out of? Their subconscious. They're trying. See, nicotine is a numbing, relaxing drug. So they're tormented, and that's the reason they're dragging on that cigarette. They need something to calm them down. I am here to tell you about the peace speaker tonight. Is anybody understanding me? You get in the presence of God, and what he'll do, he will set you free. The word of God in Proverbs 23:7 says that as a man thinks in his heart, that's the way he is. So is he. When you take your Bible, the Bible's just words on pages until you understand these words or what God gave us to understand who he is. It's a reflection of his character and of his nature. And the logos, the written word, becomes the rhema. That's the revealed word of God. That's when you make it somewhere in your life. When you embrace the word as truth and you renew your subconscious emotional experience, or the other one, the only other way to renew the subconscious is by repetition. That is why Jesus said, "Verily, verily, 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 I say unto thee." Matthew, Mark, Luke. I think they all plagiarized. Is anybody following me? It's practically the same gospel. Why did he give it to us three times? Can somebody help me with that? Because we needed to hear it. Then John comes in and talks about the light. You can't have the light until the darkness is gone. But the light shining into the darkness will make it flee. When you embrace the word is truth, all of a sudden your heart starts being affected. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Your heart's got eyes. Habakkuk 2. He said, I'll stand on the rampart and listen, watch to see what you say to me. Think about that. Chris, how in the world can you watch to see what he says? You don't hear with your eyes, you hear with your ears, unless you married to Ashley. And all you got to do is look at her, because she's in your heart. Amen? And y'all hadn't had a fight yet, but if you're going to be married 46 years, you're going to be singing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, and let me see Ashley too. Can I get an amen? Amen? You have that relationship. I can walk by people, and God will say, stop. I say, but God, I got a lot to do. He says, do you trust me? Just talks to me like that. I might be schizo, I don't know. The guys in the program, you know, if you hear voices, you're schizophrenic now, right? They got a term for psychologists. Instead of schizophrenic, they call it scarenoid pizzophrenic. One guy says, Pastor, I hear voices. I said, I do too. He said, you do? How many of you in here hear voices? How many of you hear the voice of God? You sense the voice of God. You better be, because if you're not listening to God's voice, you're listening to the voice of the enemy. And there's a way to know the difference. I got to close. We start believing in our heart. We go beyond just reading. We embrace it. We meditate on it. We trust the word. And all of a sudden, his word becomes alive in our hearts, so that truth, the manifestation of God, will occur in my heart. Oh, I miss Teresa right now. When she was so sick, see, I love her, my heart. She was so sick, Ashley. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and put my hand on her just to make sure she was breathing. I love these boys. I love my three granddaughters. Two of them are little Asian Korean girls. The last one's a mess. But I love my wife with all of my. And that's where you got to love God from. He's not a God of just your head. He's a God of your heart. You will love him when you love him with all of your what? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Ashley, could I get you to come and help me close? Because I'm telling you, y'all are pulling on me. You're pulling on me. Thank you, Ashley. Ashley, I love you. I thank God for you, Ashley, and your family. And every child that you have, and all the ones y'all plan to. Hey, I'm not talking about Ashley. Todd's got 8. I go into a restaurant with them, and everybody looks at us like, my God, don't they know about birth control? Yeah, but you ought to see those children minister to each other. Everybody in that family's got a buddy. It's not the things that are going to make you happy. I watch as Brooke goes to the thrift stores and dresses them so cute. Go on Facebook and look at them. Shep, you might not have always had all the new stuff, son, but you're getting what matters. Same way with you, Hasten.
You're in a family, son, where your mom and dad love God. There's one thing this weekend, you get to see Papa in a totally different light. I don't get to be your pastor anymore. But learn to trust him. Learn that you can't live without his presence. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. They are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Ephesians 6, 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. I got to studying this, Don Pyre, and you're a Bible student. We know what the righteousness of God is, but God said there's something deeper there. You know what it means, Don? It means life. Living life as it should be. Living life as it should be. As it should be. You shouldn't have to worry. I know we're going to have to fight the battle, but living life as it should be. A functional concept of it is things as they should be. Righteousness. Jeremiah 24:7 says, I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return to me with their whole heart. He wants you to know him in your heart. You want to know why? Because if we only know God intellectually, we only know him through information about him. When we try to use our own strength, this will only work as long as we can recall and remember the information. Then we become legalistic and bound. We try to keep the law. Your heart must be circumcised. If we submit our heart to him, he circumcises our heart, and he can guide us through our heart. I just can't think all the right stuff if my heart hasn't been healed. I want to make this statement. I said it to a couple I was praying for this morning. I want you to say it with me. If I live in depression, I live in the past. If I live in anxiety, I'm trying to live in the future. If I live in the present, by the way, stop right there. That's the reason it's called the present. It's a gift from God. If I live in the present, I live in his presence. You didn't get that. You know what I just heard in my spirit? I heard a scripture in Hebrews. And we're encompassed about by such a great cloud of witnesses. Grace, I don't know, but what's somewhere right over the portals of glory, that there's not some Mamie Statons and some Timmy Whittingtons and some Lillian Rosses and Maudie Dungans and Sister Jacksons and Horace Tillmans. I don't know but what they looking over tonight. Maybe, just maybe a Irene or I don't know. I know that scripture's there. I know God will do things sometimes that'll blow your mind. Meridian, I was fighting one of the biggest battles of our life. We were burdened with debt when we got there. Church wouldn't grow. Everything we touched up to that time had blossomed. I was in my office praying. And I looked up, and I promise you for just a minute, I don't know why God let me do it. Don, I saw my daddy standing in the door with his arm up, and he smiled at me. I knew everything's going to be all right. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that's up. That's up to you. Charlie Haynes died this spring, left all the pastoral stuff of the ministry. You got to realize, we don't pastor but about 120 people at one time, but all of them are bad. All of that weight fell on me. Teresa's uncle died. We were in Tennessee, and I was sitting in a beautiful motel one morning early praying. I write and journal when I pray. I looked over, and there was this older couple sitting about three tables up from me. She had one of those look like guidepost books, and he was eating, and she was reading a devotion to him, and they were so happy. She had on Skechers shoes, just chubby little wonderful people. And I got to talking about Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac. But it was really weird that morning. They were talking like in first person, like they were there. And I just stopped praying and I started listening. And she would just laugh and she'd read like, you remember? I was enamored by this couple. And I started to write what they were doing. And I looked up and they were gone. They were gone. And Jehovah Shammah spoke to my heart. And he said, son, don't you worry. Everything's going to be all right. Well, I should have known when he said that all hell was going to break loose. Some of the members of the family that help in the ministry got at odds with each other. It wasn't over big things. They were trying to protect each other. It was such a mess. I just kept going back and see. I could see that lady laughing like she was sitting there watching Abraham take Isaac up that mountain and the ram being there. Last Wednesday, I got a call. It was the head of the ministry. I just pastor and help. I'm the only member of the board that's not a family member. They're great people. But he said, Pastor, could you meet me at my house? We've got reconciliation to do. I'd been praying for it for 2 months. And they gathered in there, and I talked to him and loved on him. We took communion, and they hugged necks. And that little mama weighs about 85 pounds soaking wet. She got to weeping so hard, Teresa had to hold her. I believe I saw angels that day in that motel. If you live in the presence of God, that kind of stuff is not weird to you. Would you stand with me, please? I must let Jesus heal me and develop me in the ability to hear the voice of God in my heart. That means in your mind, in your head, in your bosom, in your being. When I do that, I will experience the manifest presence of God. There's somebody under the sound of my voice tonight that needs to get in his presence for just a minute. If you're here, I call it soaking, and you want to soak. You want to get there for just a moment and let him speak to you. As an act of faith, would you step out from where you are and join me in this altar? God's done a great work in this building tonight. There's people that's already been set free. I had a God moment at lunch today. I'm sitting between two of the precious ladies in this church. One of them's husbands were there. The other one don't have a husband. I was talking to her, Benny. God's got his hand on her. You know, sometimes God lets the people he uses greatly be wounded deeply. And I don't know, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, teach her about her voice. I said, you got to take care of your voice. If you don't take care of your voice, you won't have anything. I watched Todd Tillman sing for 3 hours at a time during revival. Nodules developed on his vocal cords. the worst torment I've ever seen anybody go through is he had to take 6 weeks of silence. Lou, he would get up and leave the sanctuary. Me and his mom would ask him, son, why do you leave? He said, Dad, I can't be in there and not sing. But I was telling her, and I told her about a tea that we turned him on to, and about how to, and you were sitting right on the other side of me. I don't know if y'all know that meant all to me. God shows me stuff like that every day. And I look up and there is a package of this herbal tea coming in front of me being passed to her. She had it in her purse. That's how God works. And you don't want me to have to get tough with you, because I'm your daddy's age, you understand? Anybody in here hungry tonight? You just hungry? Come on, join us. Move down here with us. It's okay. Somebody says, why do we have to come to the altar? You don't. But there's something about binding your faith with other people. Come on, just a moment. I got some interns in here tonight that I love dearly. You know, when you're by yourself, you know those times when you felt depression really set in and you got in there on the keyboard and it wasn't nobody there but you and the kids, and he showed up. Could you do some of that tonight? Out of your innermost being, Ashley, you're awesome anyway. But just help me go there tonight. I don't know how, except to do it in my spirit. But you can do it with music. Come on, close in a little bit. Freddie, I watched my old daddy so many times. I sensed the Holy Ghost. I didn't know what it was. Maybe I was a kid. Somebody gave me one of those books, Grace of the History. And I opened it up and there's a picture of him holding me when I was about 6 months old. I wish I could find that picture and get a good one, because I'd want to leave it to my kids. But it's just one of those, I don't know, halfway photocopied pictures. And I held that book in my office and I just wept for about 30 minutes. Because I could remember what it felt like to have him do that. I just want you to close your eyes just a minute. And I want us to get lost. Just lost in his presence. Just like daddy would hold me and I would feel the presence of God. And just like I held my boys and my daughter and they felt the presence of God. Would you do this? Just close your eyes. Come on, just close your eyes. Get in your heart. Get out of your head a minute. Get in your heart. And in your mind's eye, David wrote the 23rd Psalm from his mind's eye, from his heart. I want you to crawl up in his lap. Can you do that? Oh, I remember how my daddy smelled. Come on, get close enough to smell him. Get close enough to smell Abba Father. Daddy. Can you do that? Come on, just enjoy him as he holds you. Enjoy him. Come on, go deeper. Look in his face. Listen to his voice. Oh, continue. Don't rush him.